Tonight's shiur should be the Fushlema of Nisal Bas Edel, so the Fushlema of Korov. Okay, we're continuing in towards the end of Siman Shin Chav Gimel. I want to finish off the Siman as well as start Siman Shin Chav Dalet. And the halach is as follows. Please mind the speed because I want to speed up a little bit. Because we are a little bit behind. So... somebody who has got a kois which a goy drank from it, a kois which was used by a goy, kois shoshta in Yehudi, muter ladicha le divrei kol. If you've got a cup, a glass which was used by a goy, you want to wash it off. Are you allowed to wash it off and rinse it on Shabbos? Yes or no? Does it make a difference the fact it was used by a goy or not? Good, so why would it? So the Mishnah Berurah, the truth is you're right, and it is permitted, you don't have to worry about it. But what the Mishnah Berurah explains, if you've got Lamed Zayin, which is the second line, he says, Shtosu b'yayin, what we're talking about over here is a glass which was used for wine. Now, av shebelo yadocha also l'ishtamesh bo, that means that you're not allowed a glass which was used for wine by a goy, you're not allowed to use it. You must, halachically, rinse it and wash it off, for obvious reasons, because there was goyish wine in there. So you must wash it off, you must rinse it off. So you, at this current state, you may not use it. So you would have thought that perhaps, since I must halachically wash it, before that washing, before the rinsing, it was also, and after rinsing it is now permitted, you would have thought perhaps that you can't do that on Shabbos, because it's halachic rinsing, not just a physical rinsing. You're changing its status. Oh. It's like a tikkun. Yeah. That's right. It's like a tikkun kli to some extent.
Why are you changing it?
Are
you talking about kosher wine?
No.
Or non-kosher?
Non-kosher. It's a bit like kashering, yeah. That's right. It's a bit like kashering. It's a good comparison.
The
question is as to whether a class which was used by a goy for goyish wine, which you may not use without rinsing, or you'd have to rinse it on Shabbos, yes or no. And the argument would be to answer it is that since it is also to use it, it's forbidden to use it in its current state, you would have thought perhaps you can't rinse it because you're changing its status. It's a bit like what Mr. Berlin says, it's a bit like kashering on Shabbos, which you're not allowed to do. So this rinsing is like kashering to some extent. Very good comparison. So you would have thought that perhaps you're not allowed to do it. No, the halacha is, Shulchan Aruch says, kosher shasa boy in Yehudi, you're allowed to muter ladicha divrei kol, you're allowed to wash it off, you're allowed to rinse it off. So, and it's not considered a significant tikkun. Yes, it's also not a significant tikkun. It's not muter to do it, it's not considered a sufficient tikkun. Yeah, although you're right, it's not pogum anymore, but nevertheless, it's muter. Okay, sif tes. Sif Tes. Now the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Kot Lamed Zayin goes into details. How important halach is lemaisa, but we're not going to go into it. About bittel b'shishim on Shabbos, and at when you're allowed to mevatel, when you're not allowed to mevatel. But but lemaisa in terms of this class of here, you're allowed to rinse it off and then use it. Sif Tes. Motel eshav shevakelim b'chol dovon. Now this is talking about rubbing the a keli. You've got something which needs not just rinsing, but it needs a stronger, more aggressive kind of wash rinsing. So that's the rubbing that you've got. This keli is quite dirty. You need to. So mutale shavshiv hakelim b'chol dovo. You're allowed to wash off, to rub the kelim b'chol dovo with any mat, with any item. You're allowed to do that. Chutz mikle kesef begartikon. You're allowed to, on the whole, if you've got a keli which is particularly dirty and you want to rub it off the dirt, you're allowed to do so on Shabbos, excluding klei kesef, excluding the klei kesef silverware with this gartikon, which is shumish shimrei yayin, which is the acidic part, shimrei yayin of the wine of the grapes, which is left over, shenis yapshu, which have dried, venis kashun, they became hard. Because what happens is that on the whole, if you've got a keli, you need to rub it clean. So on the whole, it's permitted to do so. You're allowed to. Imagine a dirty plate. Imagine a dirty pot. You're allowed to rub it with some more stronger object. The only exception is when it's silverware with this shimri yain, we've got this kind of leftover grapes, you know, the leftover grapes, which have gone hard. Now, those were used for silverware. And the thing with those is, because they're a little bit hard, and silverware tends to be a little bit soft, you're not just making it shiny, but actually you're going to be polishing it. Yes, basically what that's what it boils down to. You're polishing it. You're making it completely, you're putting it back in its regular, in its normal shape, and you're polishing it as well. That will be also on Shabbos. So again, normally, Shulchan Aruch says, Mutar leshavshev hakelim b'chol tavo. You're not even shavshev to wrap the kelim b'chol tavo with any object. Chutz, excluding mekle kesef, silverware, pegatukon, shiv shimri yain, is the leftovers of the grapes, shiniz yap should have gone hard, they've solidified, v'niz kashu, they've dried and hard now, mipnei because shu memachik leke kesef shurach, you're hardening and you're soft, you're memachik the silverware, which is a little bit soft. Yes, it's memachik, but it's So Mishmur says it's memachik kesef shurach. Yes, so yes, it's basically what So Mishmur explains that similar to that in Mishnah Bosef Cotton Mem, he says Mishmur memachik. No, let's specify Kot Lamed Ches first. Let's start with Lamed Ches. Lamed Ches says Bechol Dovo. Regular kelim you're allowed to rinse off with any object. Afilu benetzer v'chol, even if you've got sand or earth or anything which is like little pebbles, even kshiched lo mokim mibodyoim she'ini mukta. Assuming they are not mukta, you'll have to use them to rub off the dirt of the pots and the plates. Yeah, I'm skipping the brackets. Although it is perhaps hard, and you're scrubbing it off of machik, and here also it should be machik, so why is it mut over here? Nevertheless, it's not your intention to machik. All you're trying to do is to take off the dirt, and that's going to be permitted. But when it comes to gartikon on the silverware, it's inevitable that you're going to be machik, and therefore it's going to be also. Okay, and then the Maril Taka also Shtivis Chuches b'Shiboyle Shul Atziroi. He says if that's literally polishing, that he says that's also as well. And that's the Mishnah Berurah says that polishing generally is also. Now Mipnei Shemachek Alken also Emsefkot Mem also Avalken also Hashchiz Asakin b'Shabbes Av Shaloi Berichaim Rak Be'etzer Chedoyim Doyim Emachek.
To sharpen a knife on Shabbos, sharpen a knife on Shabbos. What's the halacha? So the Mishnah Berurah says over here, to sharpen a knife on Shabbos is also because even if it's not berichaim, even if it's just a wooden piece and you just like sharpen it with a wooden block, it's still also the doim lemachik, because that's also in a way like memachik, and therefore any polishing, sharpening, and rubbing off. Interesting. Mashu gumas normally is by karka only. Interesting. Yeah. Mashve gumos, there's a gzera of mashve gumos, which means to, if you've got a earthen floor, if you are making it even, that's also because that's mashve gumos. Okay, so if you'd and chofin kelim b'melach, similarly chofin when you wash off kelim with salt, that's also the finish melach nimche kshechof bechosko. A different issue over here, because when you have salt and you're rubbing the salt on the kelim, then what happens is that it's going to melt. By rubbing it very, very strongly, the salt will melt and will become more liquidized, and that's also on Shabbos as well. And that Mishnah Berurah compares it, indeed, in Sifkot Mem Aleph, for doim l'risuk ha'shelik v'abor, that's similar to what we learned in Siman Shin Chof, that if you've got snow or hail, to make that into a liquid, that's also on Shabbos. Similarly, also here, if you've got salt, can you imagine, if you've got like salt, you're rubbing it on the kelim to make, you can imagine, you know, to clean the kelim, the salt, so that's also as well, because really what's happening by rubbing in it, then the salt is going to be more liquidy, and that's also on Shabbos because it's comparable to making snow into liquidizing snow and hail, and that's also. No, that's not also machik. He's doim le'risuk ha'shelik va'borot. So we learned there that it is also because if you're making something into a liquid, it is also. And if I'm not mistaken, it's because of you're changing the substance significantly. From making something into a solid becomes a hard. From something a hard, which is a liquid, something solid into a liquid is also in its own right, and that's what you're doing here as well. If you've got animals, what are you allowed to do for the animals on Shabbos? So the halach is as follows. Let's see. Siv Aleph tells us in Kovrin Hateven Bekavor Sheyipoil Amoitz Leoretz. So this is as follows. Let me just finish the seif. For lo enichen b'mokim gavoy kedei sheyered amoitz. Havon loyte bekavor noisan lesorich or evois hafol pisha amoitz noifel me'elov muta kevin she'enu memchaven. So what is as follows. If you've got grain, the grain, so it's like on a stick. Excuse my. It's not it's not the right expression, but you've got the stem. Then you've got the grain, and then around it, I don't know if it's only wheat or other grains as well. They've got like the little sharp things which are coming up, the sharp things that, you know, like little, they're part of the shell, I believe, and they go up. That's called a moitz, and they are useless. You know what I mean? It's like the sharp things which are going up. Yeah, do you know what? I don't know what the English expression is. In Los Nacones, it's called the moitz. Yeah. I don't know if it's stuff wheat, could be other grains as well. But grains often have like moitz sticking up. Yes. Chaff? No, but it's stuff because it's like it goes up and it's like it's, so that's called. So now, these, they have no purpose. It's on the top, and really anybody who wants the grain does not want the moitz. He doesn't want it. There's no purpose in it. So now the question is, you have to sieve this, if you've got the hay, or you've got the grain, and you want to sieve it in a way to distinguish, you don't want to have the moitz, you don't have those moitz, how do you do it on Shabbos? So the Shulchan Aruch teaches as follows. Ein koivrin, again, this is for preparation of food for the animals. Because the hay, you don't want within the hay those moitz, because they are disturbing. In koivrin, you're not allowed to sieve hateven the hay, bikovra, which is like a kind of a sieve, sheyipol hamoitz la'oretz. That is a sieve that will remove the top pieces onto the floor. You're not allowed to use that kind of sieve on Shabbos. And you're not even allowed to take the grain and put it in a high place. When you're taking this grain, you're putting it somewhere high up, and naturally the moitz will fall off. That's also no good. You're not allowed to do that. But what you're allowed to take, the grain, to put it in a, is it called a trough? That thing where animals eat, trough, you're allowed to take it and put it in the trough. Although inevitably the moitz will come off. You're putting it in there, you're putting that hay in there because the animal is going to eat. But yes, naturally also the moitz is going to come off. That's fine. Because that's not your intention. So the essential point of this seif is you're not allowed to purposely take the moitz away. It means of a sieve. To take the moitz away from the hay, that's also. Although yes, you're preparing this hay for the animals to eat, but you're not allowed to purposely take away the moitz that you're allowed to. But if you're putting it in a trough and naturally it comes off, that's fine. See, base. Lo yim doit adam sa'oirim loses lifem behem toy elam shabo oimidai toy. This is a continued halacha about feeding the animal. And here we're talking about measuring. You want to measure how much animal feed you want to give. So here we're learning, lo yim doit adam sa'orim. You're not allowed to use a measuring cup for an animal to check how much sa'orim, how much barley for him to have. Law says to give anything behemoth in front of the animal. But you're allowed to take a cup approximately and say, yeah, that's how much grain he needs, that much of food he needs, and give it like that. But to check 500 mil, or to have 800 grams, or to measure exactly how much to give for the animal is also, because measuring on Shabbos is forbidden, and similarly also measuring for animals, that's also as well. But if you're just estimating, measuring, with an estimated guess, that's mutter. Okay, so if Gimel brings us back to an earlier simon,
And it's talking about Losh. So we're going back to Losh now for Siv Gimel. And the halach is as follows. Ein goivlin, you're allowed to stir. Murson, Murson is the bran. Lebehemo letane goilim. You're allowed to stir. To be goivel, to stir the bran for the animals or for the chickens. Have a nice thing by mayim, but you're allowed to put water into the bran. Who mayve by, tadvot oi makel shosiv orev. But, so you're allowed to add water to it. but you're allowed to add water to it, to the bran. So Shulchan Aruch says as follows. We learned with regards to Losh, if we remember, we learned that you're not allowed to make, we're not kind of making a cereal now for animals. Cereals for animals. That's how they used to feed animals. You produce cereals, which was made out of Mursan bran. And they said that bran is very healthy. Is that true? So they say, no, bran is very healthy. Okay, it's animals food, really. It's animal food. So, does that make it more or less appetizing? I don't know. More or less healthy? I don't know. But bran is animal's feed. I don't have to... Yeah. So now, the shaila is, if you want to use this bran now to make a cereal for the animal, how are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? You want to prepare for a nice, fresh cereal for your what? Horse or donkey or whatever. So now, how do you do that? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us that ein goivlin, you're not to stir more on the bran, la behema for your animal, or tanagol for your chickens. But what are you allowed to do? If it's there already, you're allowed to pour water into this cereal, into this bran. You're allowed to add the water into it. To add the water and then to the following movement, up, right, left, up, down, right, left, a bit. That movement you're allowed to do. The Chazon Ish, by the way, says, it's important for us when we do cereals on Shabbos, says that you have to, if you do that, Shalsiv Erev, you're allowed to do Shalsiv Erev, but you have to, when you do that, you have to be makbit, always lift it up, because otherwise you're going to end up making a circle. So you have to do up, then lift it up, right, left, lift it up, up, so down. If you want to make some, if there is a shail of Megabel, if you are making something which goes within the category, if you are, okay? So you can't stir it, and then the only way to do it, so it's a zigzag. Chazon Ish says you can only do zigzag if you're lifting it up in between. So to do like this, that's you're going to end up making a circle at the end. So you have to do like this, lift up, like this, and then lift up. So it's just a matter of getting used to it. So, probably your wife does it like that. Yeah, so you've got it, yeah.
Lift up in between.
Yeah. Or you change the order, as we spoke about then.
You have to go on the same page.
Correct. So, here now also, so, of a noise in my mind, you have to put water into it. Since you're not doing the normal wave, by the way, Rabbi Yisrael, just a brief reminder, because this is the critical point over here. Why is it mutter to pour water into this bran? Why is it mutter? Why is it not considered losh? Why is it not losh? So the answer to that question is, because we spoke about it extensively then, it's machlok is showing us to adding water is considered losh or not. And we pasken that adding water, al-kupon shulchan aruch paskens, that adding water itself is not considered losh. And that's what we're allowed to do that over here. So again, you are allowed to prepare this cereal for the animals made out of bran by just adding water, because this opinion holds that adding water is not considered losh. And then this irregular matter is irregular way of stirring that's also permitted because it's a substantial chinui. Are you allowed to do the following? You put it all in a kli, you got this cereal for the animal, but it's not really, it's not mixed. Now you're taking in one kli and whoops, you're putting into the second kli. And then perhaps you put it back into the first one. Are you allowed to stir in that manner? Yes or no? Yes, you are. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. Indeed, you are allowed to do that. This is the permitted way of creating a cereal for your donkey on Shabbos. You're allowed to stir this cereal for this brand cereal for the animals, once you've done this yummy
cereal, you're allowed to mix it, to spread it out into various kelim. That's all permitted. For noisin if they call behemo, you're allowed to put it in front of any animal. That's perfectly mutter. Humare bikli echod afilu koyv afilu kriam. You're allowed to do so even if you've got a huge amount of bran. You're giving to your whole stable full of horses. You've got plenty of donkeys. You're allowed to do as much as you want. You're allowed to do even kuro kiraim, which is a huge amount. Now, opinion number one. Opinion number two now. V'yesh oisim litin mayim al gabi amusam b'shabbos. Some say that you're not allowed to add water into this cereal, into this bran on Shabbos. Why not? Because of which melacha? Why not to add water? This opinion holds that. Losh. This opinion holds that adding water itself is losh. Yes, that's exactly what we discussed then in Losh. That adding water, according to this opinion, is a problem, and therefore you may not add water to the bran. The only time that we allowed and we permitted doing this action of Shasiv Erev and turning it like this, that was only permitted if the cereal and the water were together before Shabbos, and all you're doing is to mix it up, then it's permitted. But to add water on Shabbos, according to this opinion, is also and that's what we're discussing in Chavala. So we've got a machlokes as to the first opinion holds that to add the water is mutter to the bran on Shabbos, and then to the Shasiv Erev, and the second opinion holds that adding water is also on Shabbos, and Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkot and Zayin, in the last two lines of Sifkot and Zayin, the Svira Ludafir Lusechamus and also Litin Mayim, Mishum the Nesinas Hamayim, the adding of water, Zeo Gibul, that is Gibul, Kolchken Lusechakemach, Shubichtal Gibul, it's considered Gibul, it's considered Losh, if you are Losh, and to add water is also in its own right. Now, Rabbi said there's an important question over here, which I think is really important to discuss. According to many opinions, okay, Rabbi said, I think it's maybe a bit controversial, but okay, adding water, nobody holds that adding water is mutter altogether. It's either the Rabbanon or it's also. But why is it mutter here altogether? Adding water, most of the Shonim hold that adding water to make losh, you're kneading really, you're making a dough. You're making a cereal over here. Why is adding water over here mutter? Why is it so posh that it's mutter? Surely at least it should be also with the Rabbanon. So why is it mutter? So the Bialocha says over here, a fascinating yesod, and this is contrary to popular belief about Shulchan Aruch. Because the Mishnah Berurah says in Bialocha, and I'm quoting the words, Lochein lo gozru al nesin asamayim, adding water is mutter over here. V'yesh oimrim de tam ha-heta, the reason for that is, Mishum shetzorich la'achilu le-behemo, le-chayo, ve-le-oif, lochein lo gozru abonon. Says the Bialocha, that you know why you're allowed to do this derabonon over here? You know why Chachomim did not forbid this derabonon of adding water on Shabbos to this bran? Normally, yes, according to the normal rules, there should be the Rabbanon. But over here, we're allowing it. Do you know why? Because you've got a hungry animal here. And because you've got a hungry animal, Chachomim Umatia, the Rabbanon, in order to feed the animals. So, whilst we are normally considered not very great animal lovers, and there might be at times some element of truth to it, yeah? But, rigidly speaking, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch over here, it's one of the places that we find that the Shulchan Aruch really, really, really cares for the well-being of your animal. And if your horse is going to be hungry, you're allowed to do this. There are bonon over here, of an isinas mayim, of adding water to the bran, which is an isadara bonon, here chachomim u'mati, for your donkey not to be hungry. Chaim, what do you tell about that? So we are animal lovers. So the green peas and what are the other ones called?
The green party.
Not the green party. Yeah. The animal rights, we should show them this bialoch over here. That we are matir the rabbonons for letzorech. No, I think it's very interesting, no? Yeah, so that goes there as well. That's right. It's one of the few mamakomis.
With Rifta, when she fed the camels, you have to feed your animals before you eat yourself.
Yes, absolutely. That's absolutely correct. Yeah, Mishnah Berurah brings in the chelik aleph as well. Yes. Yeah, and that we find it. But I think it's very interesting because the Torah really does not want your
to have a hungry animal. And you're allowed, if you need to create this cereal, this dough, this produce, you want to, for your animal, you're allowed to be over on the Rabbanon. That I do not think it says anywhere that lechatchili should be do it before Shabbos. I don't think so. If it's fresh and nicer to have it done on Shabbos, I believe, I understand from the Bialochot, you're allowed to do this on Shabbos, lechatchili even. Yeah? Pardon? No, for yourself, would no. Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't say anywhere that, I'm not sure. Perhaps you'll have to be machmir, but it's certainly mutter lechatchila to do so. Yeah, so it's important for us to remember that we've got this issur d'rabbanan here, which is pushed away for the well-being of our animal. It's interesting that, I want to point this out, that it's not well known that Rabbi Shimshon Nefol Hirsch, the Chayin Levracha, whose yotzeit is not so far from now, he said in his tzavah that he used to give out breadcrumbs every morning. He used to give out breadcrumbs before he had breakfast. He would give out breadcrumbs outside. He had like a window. Outside his window, there was like a little, like a ledge. And he used to, before he had breakfast, he would give out, he would feed some birds, pigeons probably. And he told his wife and his children that after his particular, that was one of the things that he said. He didn't say so many important things. He said, they should continue this minigan feed because the birds will. They have a custom to come to get their crumbs by him, and he said, "Yeah, that's a Shimshon Nefol Hirsch. That was what he cared about before he was nifter. That he should carry on feeding the breadcrumbs to the birds which are in front of him." It's interesting also that the Elio Pianist got this famous picture. I found out once about it. I'm not great into animal rights, but this is very interesting. You know, there's a famous picture about Elio Pian. There's a famous picture of Elio Lopian that he has that he's feeding. That you can see him like with a, it looks like a bowl of like a bowl. And there's milk and there's a cat there. Do you know this picture? It's not so many pictures of Elio Pian, but it's one of the famous pictures in Kfar Chassidim. You see him like busy with a cat, and it's quite a famous picture. So I investigated, and it turns out that Elio Pian had a cat, and he was makbid to personally always give the milk to the cat because they had a cat. Why did they have cats?
Mice.
Exactly, because of mice. And I actually just had Shabbos. I was by my Shvigo of Shabbos, and she told me that my mother-in-law was brought up at Padayim Posen, Zichron Levracha, and they said they had a cat there as well, and because of the mice. They had mice. So the Abed Lopian was makbi to feed the cat because they had a kozot toiv to the cat that he would catch the mice. and so there we go. So, and I suppose the Makoy could potentially be from this Bialoch over here, that we have to care for the animals. Or perhaps this is a general understanding. Okay, Rabbi Isai, just recap what we covered tonight. We spoke about the glass that Goy drank from. You have to wash it, but it doesn't mean that it becomes also to do so on Shabbos. Yes, you must wash it and rinse it, but it's not considered tikkun, and you're allowed to do so on Shabbos. We learned about rubbing the kelim, which is generally mutter. Anything which you need to forceful rubbing activity to get the dirt off is mutter on Shabbos. However, the only exception was the silverware that you have to be careful with that because you're actually polishing it. We then spoke about the salt, which you're not allowed to because you're making the salt into a liquid. We then spoke about this top of the moitz of the grain of the hay that you have to be, you're not allowed to intentionally remove it on Shabbos. But if it comes off when you put it into the trough, that's mutter as well. We spoke about producing this cereal for the animals. Here we learned that there's a machloekas, first opinion, and second opinion, so you'll add to water in it. But either way, the Shulchan Aruch is matzah lemaisa, and the reason for that, Bialoch explains, because we care for the well-being of the animal. Good evening, Abba Yosef.